Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Culture agus Fulcherish, go Capital Irish. Alas Paul is anam them, and today we are broadcasting on 106.1 FM Access Radio. Now, this programme, as you know, comes to you every Sunday morning, every Sunday at midday, with news and stories, hopefully, from Ireland and about Irish things that might be happening in New Zealand. And of course, before I start, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, because without them we wouldn't be able to broadcast. Susan McGuinness and Peter at the Irish Society and the Wellington Irish Trust. And if you like this program, it would be lovely if you hopped onto Facebook if you're on there and look us up, Capital Irish on Facebook, or just send us an email anytime and look up www.accessradio.org.nz, Capital Irish, and you'll find everybody there, and you'll see photos of all the presenters. There's about 9 or 10 of us, and everybody does a different programme every week, so I hope you enjoy it and let your friends and relations know about it. Now, about stories from Ireland, I was just looking at, first of all, the latest Ambassador's newsletter. And there was an article that's here in Wellington, Peter Ryan's newsletter. There was an article about the Irish Expo 220. Now, even though it's called Expo 220, it's actually taking place between the 1st of October and the 31st of March 22 in Dubai. And it's the first World Expo ever hosted in the Middle East, Africa or Southeast Asia. And it was deferred from 220, of course, because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And Ireland's pavilion is huge there. You can just see it if you go online. And the theme is about connecting minds and creating a future. And it's got three sub-themes: sustainability, mobility and opportunity. And Ireland are showcasing just to the globe, a global audience, and will raise awareness about Ireland's attractiveness as a place to live, work and study, and of course do business. So if you're happening to be, if you happen to be going to Dubai, you'll have a lot of Irish friends to visit there at the Irish Expo. And onto the arts in Ireland, something else that is happening is Sally Rooney. Probably all know who Sally Rooney is. She was the author of Normal People, which took the world by storm and was on TV here last year. Well, she's written another book, and it's called Beautiful World, Where Are You? And she's had very good reviews for this book. And one of the reviewers said, it's neither pretentious nor over-literary, nor simplistic or throwaway. And she's great at writing about modern day relationships. She's really got a good, she's only 30 herself, so she understands that age group. And but she hit the headlines last week by deciding not to sell the translation rights of her new book to an Israel-based publishing house, saying that she wants to express solidarity with the Palestinian people in their struggle for freedom and justice, and of course equality. So, yeah, good on her making a stand like that. It's really important to do that if you're in a position where, you know, people look up to you. And what local events have we got in Wellington? Well, just at the moment, as Marion and Finbar mentioned last week and the week before, we've got the Gaelic football for the little kids, age 4 to 13, and that's out at Lorehut in Trafalgar Park every Sunday morning. So that's a great place to bring the kids to let off some steam and also introduce them to Gaelic football. And the other event that happens every second Sunday is singing classes at the Hutt Valley Irish Society for children, again, age 4 to 13. And these singing classes are free. And the next one will be on the 14th of November. So anybody is welcome. You don't have to be Irish, but it would be a good idea if you were interested in Irish songs. As my little granddaughter told me, she only likes hard rock now, so I'm not very good at that. So I think that would be a, it would be misleading to say that every kind. No, we'll just do that one. But talking about singing, we might start today off with a beautiful song from Lorena McKevitt. It's called The Mummer's Dance. And the reason, of course, I'm playing this is because it's Halloween. So Marion, who's doing our technical work today, thank you very much, Marion Grealis, and Marion will put on Lorena McKevitt. Lorena McKennett. I said McKevitt before, but it's McKennett, K-E-N-N-I-T-T. She covers lots and lots of beautiful Irish folk songs, and she herself is Canadian. But lovely to listen to that The Mummer's Song. And I don't know about in your area, but in our area in County Monaghan, they called the people who came around to your house on Halloween night, it was called Halloweeve then, they called them the mummers. And they were mostly all young lads from around the local area. Girls didn't weren't either encouraged or allowed. I don't really know why. But I'm speaking about mid-50s to mid-60s. And all the young fellows would get dressed up in the worst clothes they could find and put straw in their hats and straw in their wellies and come in tens and twenties through the fields and create havoc, stealing people's gates and banging all anything they could get their hands on, buckets and pans. This was to frighten away any of the ghosts or the evil spirits that might have been wandering around through the fields, or so it was said. So we'll go back to the origins of Halloween in Celtic Ireland. And Samhain is what it's called, Samhain and Iahowan. So Samhain has three different elements, and the most important fire festival is celebrated on the 31st and throughout the following day. So the flames of old fires had to be extinguished and ceremoniously relit by the Druids. This is back, you know, when it was a big celebration. And it was a bit like New Year's Day in that it's carry out the notion of casting out the old and moving in with the new. So the pagan ancestors, it marked the end of the pastoral cycle, a time when all the crops have been gathered and placed in storage for the very long, cold, dreadful winter ahead. And the livestock would be brought in, and the cows would be brought in for milking, or there would be the animals selected for slaughtering or breeding. And it was the last day of the year, in the time when the souls, of course, departed, would return to their former homes, and when potentially malevolent spirits were released from the other world, and they were visible to mankind, which is the spooky part of Halloween. I mean, although we loved it and looked forward to it, there was also a kind of trepidation there as well, because we were very well aware that there were other things going on outside. So to ward off in Druid times, to ward off the evil, they let loose at Samhain, huge bonfires were lit, and people wore ugly masks and disguises to confuse the spirits and stop the dead from identifying individuals that they had disliked during their own lifetime. So that's where that came from, you know, dressing up with those ugly masks and everything. It came from way back in those times to try and confuse the spirits. They also deliberately made a lot of noise, as I was saying before, to unsettle the spirits and drive them away from their homes. But the timid would leave out food in their homes at the nearest hawthorn or whitethorn bush where the fairies lived, hoping that their generosity would appease the spirits. So just as spells and the witches were especially powerful at Samhain, so it was believed to be the time when you could predict the future. So there were lots of games that were played in people's houses. For example, in our area, when we were children, they used to leave three saucers out on the table. One saucer had water in it, one saucer had a ring, and the other saucer had ashes. And you were blindfolded. And of course, then you had to go over and put your hand into one of these saucers. And if you put your hand into the water, it meant that you were going to go across the sea. If you put your hand in to where the ring was, of course, you were going to get married before next Halloween, which was quite confusing for kids of 5 and 6. And then, but the worst one of all was if you put your hand into the ashes or the dirt, you could be dead. So it was a bit of a scary experience. But anyhow, there was a lot of hilarity about it as well. Your mother had to pacify you and tell you, look, it's only a game. And then there was Bub the Apple, you know, where we hung the apple from the ceiling. And the first person to get a bite out of it would also be married before next Halloween. And we also put the apple into a basin of water and you had to dunk down again. So there's a lot of predicting about who would get married. It seemed to be that the end of the harvest, and the harvest was saved, and the beginning of winter, people started thinking about festivities and weddings and funny things like that. So anyhow, it was quite into the mid-50s all these things happened, and or 60s rather. And then suddenly it changed to being much more commercial. And of course you could buy masks then, and children started getting involved in going around trick-and-treating. So it, yes, it changed considerably. And when we lived in Dublin with Jerry, Eddie and Steve, I remember getting them all dressed up. This was in the 80s. And they went out and there was a huge bonfire at the top of our street. It was scary. Anyhow, we were with the children and you stood back a little bit and they knocked on the doors, and Jerry had his little tin whistle with them and he would play a little tune for a trick. And yes, but nowadays you might have a dozen kids coming to the door and they just want money, I think. It's very different altogether. Well, that's in our area anyway. I always keep loads of lollies. I've got them in already. So they get the lollies and the mums can deal with the dentist later. Okay, on that note as well, we've lost somebody else very precious, and that's Paddy Maloney. And I know that Marion played and Finbar did a lovely tribute to him, which was really, really lovely. But this particular tune, The Morning Dew, that will give us a bit of a nice wake up. So Marion could pop that one on first, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was lovely. The Chieftains, Paddy Maloney, of course, was celebrating today. And we'll continue to celebrate, even though he's left us from this world. Now, COVID-19 in Ireland, the cases are still growing at an alarming rate, with over 100 today in ICU. I just checked the RTE news before I came in. And a high number of those are between 5 and 12 years old, which is, of course, very scary. And it's a huge worry. But half of the people are not vaccinated who have been admitted to hospital. So that's another wake-up call for us, that we need to vaccinate. It's the only way we can get on top of this and have the immunity when it becomes a real problem. So vaccinate, wear your mask, check in everywhere you're going, hand washing, and when then hopefully we won't need to go back to lockdowns. So we hope that everybody in Ireland will manage this period without too much stress. It's a huge burden on them, but I know they've come through a lot before and they've managed it, so our thoughts are with them. We're listening to Capital Irish on Access Radio 106.1 FM, and I'm Alice Paul. We come to you for a half an hour every Sunday at midday, and thank you very much for listening, and don't forget to pass on the word to your friends and relatives that they can check in about things Irish in New Zealand, and of course any late news from Ireland. And one of the things that's happening in Wellington over the next few weeks, from the 3rd of November through to the 7th, is Verb. It's the Verb Readers and Writers Festival, and it's run by Andy Laking and Claire. And even in the middle of the pandemic, we're thrilled, they say, to present it with a little bit of magic programming. As you know, we're very lucky to be able to do that. The magic formula for Verb readers and writers from the 3rd to the 7th. So this is the 8th annual Verb Festival celebrating writers in New Zealand and, of course, writers from all over the world. So you can find in all the information about this on their website, which is www.verbwellington.nz. And it will go through all the different writers that are coming and speaking on Zoom. So the one writer I wanted to tell you about was Dearne Ní Gcríofa, and she is the acclaimed author of the Irish Book of the Year 2020. It's called A Ghost in the Throat. And it's won numerous awards worldwide, so, and is universally praised for the way the book blends memoir, scholarship and fiction. Now, Dearne came out here a few years ago. She actually came to the Verb Festival maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and we were lucky enough to attend her talk. And wow, she's inspirational. She's an amazing person. Young woman, again, in her 30s, lives in Cork. She's a fluent Irish speaker. So she's done a lot of poems, translates her poems from Irish, the old poems from Irish to English and vice versa. So, yeah, I think you'd love her. She's a warm, very gentle, entertaining person. Actually, Kim Hill interviewed her a few weeks ago, and a lot of people were talking about the interview. You could probably also download that. They were talking about just how warm and how interesting her story is. So she's an empathetic, compassionate person. And the literary crawl as well is included in this. And it includes the debut of the new opera in progress by Chris Chi and Ruby Solly in collaboration with musicians, and a session on the faith in the pandemic, which acclaimed historian Henry Ha and writers Danny McLaughlin. So there will be so many different things to attend. Some of them are free, and there's the writers' bookshops as well, which are some of them are free, and some of the others are just $19. I had to look at the price. So please get on to www.verbwellington.nz. And with that, we'll play another tune now. And the next one I've chosen is My Yella Mar by The Chieftains and Sting. And after that, I'm afraid to say I've talked so much that the half an hour is absolutely gone. But again, thank you for listening. And tune in again next week and hear some more stories about Ireland. And take care of yourselves. Slán agus beannacht.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shene vorasfen, akuig again ma'ilma.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.